ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 6 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज डेमोनियक स्कूलमेट्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 19
नाह्यच्युतं प्रिणयतो भाव्यसो सुरत्मजः आत्मवत् सर्वभूतानां सिद्धात्वदिह सर्वतः
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Super Soul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Purport. One may ask, one is certainly very attached to family life, but if one gives up family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? This is not a valid objection. The Lord asserts in Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasham brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradapitaha. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Lord Narayan is the seed-giving father of all living entities because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, Mamai Vamso Jiva Bhuta. As there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relationship between a father and son, there is no difficulty in re-establishing the natural intimate relationship between Narayan and the living entities. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. If one performs even very slight devotional service, Narayan is always ready to save one from the greatest danger. The definite example is Ajamil. Ajamil separated himself from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing many sinful activities and was condemned by Yamaraj to be very severely punished. But because at the time of death he chanted the name of Narayan, although he was not calling for the Supreme Lord Narayan, but for his son named Narayan, he was saved from the hands of Yamaraj. Therefore, pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. We have seen important political leaders killed for a slight discrepancy in their behavior. Therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. Pleasing Narayan is not at all difficult. It is very easy. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayan. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful, whereas one will never be successful in pleasing his so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. The simple endeavor involved in the devotional service of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore bestowed his blessings by saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. If one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, he must take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Just read the translation again. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Super Soul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshipping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Hare Krishna. A few days back, I was sitting in our Govindas with a few devotees, God brothers, and there were also some people who are new to ISKCON, who practically were coming to the temple for the first time. So during the course of honoring Prasadam over there, these people wanted to get to know more about ISKCON, get to know more about Prabhupada and what we are doing in the temple and what is the philosophy. So they were asking some questions about Srila Prabhupada and what is the philosophy behind our movement. And invariably, particularly with Indians, there is always some knowledge that they have about some aspects of spiritual life. They would have got into contact with some Swamiji. So similarly, these people also had some connection with some spiritual movement. So as they were talking, you know, I thought this was a good opportunity to preach, and I was explaining to them about our philosophy, and then I quoted a few shlokas also. So as I was talking to them, I could see that practically right in front of their eyes, their respect was keeping on increasing. And finally, one of the persons asked me, "How old are you?" So I told him, you know, I told him my age. So then he said, "At this age, you're so well versed in all the scriptures, and do you give classes every day? Or do you recite Bhagavad Gita every day?" They were really awestruck. And I told them that if you come to our temple and associate with our brahmacharis, who are half my age, they will give you much more shlokas and much more philosophy than what I'm telling you. So we see over here, Prahlad Maharaj, the age of 5. What to talk about a 48-year-old man. So you could imagine if Prahlad Maharaj was standing before them and talking to them about the philosophy that we are seeing or hearing for the last few days. It's incredible. Prahlad Maharaj is talking about Graha Andhakupam, a deep dark well. He's talking about how a man is a plaything in the hands of his wife. He's talking about how money is sweeter than honey. I mean, these are not the things that one would expect a 5-year-old boy to be talking about. So we see that quite a few places, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami, uses the situation of a child in order to give this deep philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Particularly when we had this, when we had Hiranyakashipu being killed by Lord Vishnu. At that time, Hiranyakashipu comes and placates the wife, children and relatives of Hiranyaksha by telling them the story of this king called Suyagya, who was the king of this country called Ushinara. And as part of the story, Hiranyakashipu was relating to them how Yamaraj took the form of a small boy to come and talk very high philosophy. If Yamaraj had to come in his original situation, you know, obviously they would not have been receptive to the philosophy. But Yamaraj realized that the best thing for him to do was to take this position as a small boy. And he was talking such high philosophy. He was telling them that actually, what are you people lamenting about? There's nothing to lament about the loss of this body, because even if you're attached to this body is there right in front of you. So what are you crying about? And even if you understand that the soul, which is part of this body, is now gone, you never knew the soul in the first place. So again, what are you lamenting about? So Yamaraj was giving them both the sides of the explanation. And finally, this story further unfolds, and then the family members are convinced about the imminent departure of this king. And then they said, okay, he's dead. What can we do about it now? And then they performed his last rites. Similarly, we see also in the life of Maharaj Chitraketu, the small boy had to come back to life in order to explain to Maharaj Chitraketu that everything is so transient, everything is so temporary in this material world. So the child was asking Maharaj Chitraketu, which father are you talking about? I've had so many fathers. I've had so many mothers. And I will be having so many fathers and so many mothers in the future. And also when we see in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srivast Thakur's son leaves his body. And Srivast Thakur's son comes back to life and again tells all the people who are assembled over there that actually everything is temporary. I have come here in order to be here for a few days, a few months, a few years. And I will be going to a next destination where also I will be spending some time and so on. So children are very effective in giving this philosophy, particularly when we see in our own congregation, small children who are so wonderfully trained in Krishna consciousness. When they lead kirtan, when they sing the Narasingha prayers, although they may make some mistakes, but still, it's so impressive when you see a three-year-old child or a four-year-old child chanting the Narasingha prayers. So it's used very effectively to preach this message of Krishna consciousness. So in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing how important it is for us to be dependent on Krishna. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends that there is no impediment to pleasing Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when it comes to pleasing your family members, your relatives, your society, nation, and so on, you can never please them. There will never be a situation when everybody would be happy with you. Whatever you may do, however you may try. And Srila Prabhupada is so heavy in this purport over here, saying that pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. And therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. So the only solution is actually surrendering to Krishna. There's no other alternative. To each and every one of us in this material world, most of us do not know it, but some of us who are fortunate to be here in this room, we know that surrendering to Krishna is the only solution, which is the goal of life. And we see also from the pages of the scriptures, there are so many references of people who have done this. Like we see from the example of Srivast Thakur himself. He was a grihastha, was supposed to be maintaining his family out of his earnings. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see that Srivast Thakur was always engaged in Krishna consciousness. He was always engaged in chanting, dancing, feasting. He would never see Srivast Thakur actually working in order to earn a livelihood. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was forced to ask him, how do you manage? And we all know Srivast Thakur just clapped his hands and said, and he didn't say anything, he just clapped his hands. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted as if he was bewildered and asked him, what do you mean by this clapping of your hands three times? So Srivast Thakur again clapped his hands. And again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him. At that time Srivast Thakur told him that everything comes from you, my dear Lord. And if when I clap my hand three times, whatever I require is not provided for, I will just go and drown myself in the Ganges. I'll tie a rope, tie a stone around my neck and drown in the Ganges. Not many grihasthas would have that sort of a faith. Particularly today, everybody is aspiring to make a substantial bank balance so that we can all retire. But this is required to be done until we reach the platform of Srivast Thakur, where we can just clap our hands and expect that everything gets provided for. Till then, we have to do our bit. Similarly, we see from the life of Vasudev Dutt, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying the devotees when they were departing from Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Vasudev Dutt and told all the devotees who assembled over there that this person, Vasudev Dutt, he hardly ever takes care of his finances. In fact, whatever he earns, he spends. He doesn't keep anything for the future. And then he looked at Shivanand Sen and told Shivanand Sen that, please, from now onwards, you take charge of the finances of Vasudev Dutt, because this person is so transcendental. After all, he has a family. He has to have some savings to take care of the future. So please take care of his finances. So this is the instruction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Shivanand Sen. Because Vasudev Dutt was completely oblivious to the fact that although he was a grihastha, he had to be having something for the future. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying Vasudev Dutt as if he had 1,000 mouths. Vasudev Dutt looked at the Lord and said that, my dear Lord, please, it is my desire that all the living entities in this material world should go home back to Godhead. And in order to balance that out, I am prepared to go into the hellish planets for eternity. And Vasudev Dutt said it with so much of conviction in his heart that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had tears in his eyes. And then he looked at all the devotees and said that this is the glory of Vasudev Dutt. And then he told the devotees, what is the necessity for Vasudev Dutt to go to hell? If the Lord wants, then for him to liberate all the living entities in one universe, what does it matter? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example of this universe in the whole material creation is so insignificant. It's like one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds, or one fruit from the Odumbara tree. If a fruit from the Odumbara tree falls down, what is the loss for the tree? And if one mustard seed from a bag of mustard seeds were to fall down from the bag, what would be the loss for that bag of mustard seeds? And then he told the devotees that there is no need for Vasudev Dutt to go to hell. The Lord wants, he will take care to ensure that each and every living entity is promoted to home back to Godhead. So although Vasudev Dutt was a grihastha, such a exemplary grihastha for us all to strive for, to achieve in our lives, completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the pastime of Ramanujacharya, there's this beautiful story of Kuresh. His Holiness Radhanath Swami had narrated this pastime a few Sundays back. Kuresh was actually such a great king. He was, in fact, the king of a place called Kura. The whole village or the whole town belonged to him. And he was so charitable that every day, right from morning till night, whoever came to his palace asking for help, he would go out and give them help. Whatever they wanted. Cows, land, food, anything that they wanted. And it so happened that one day in Kanchipuram, the deities were talking among themselves. That is, Ranganath was talking to Lakshmi Devi and telling Lakshmi Devi about the glories of Kuresh. And Ranganath was asking Lakshmi as to what is the sound that comes every day in the evening from this place where Kuresh resides. And then Lakshmi Devi tells him that this is actually the gates closing. Late at night, Kuresh and his wife, whose name was Andal, both of them would be just distributing whatever wealth they had. And somehow by Krishna's arrangement, their wealth was always increasing. Till one day, both Kuresh and Andal decided, now enough is enough. The best way by which we can serve our spiritual master is to distribute all our wealth and completely surrender at his lotus feet. So one day, they just walked out of the palace. And as they were traveling, they were walking, walking, walking for quite some time. All of a sudden, they came into a deep, dark jungle. And the wife of Quraysh, Andal, started telling her husband that I'm feeling really scared over here. I'm really, this deep, dark jungle is really frightening me. So then Quraysh looked at her and asked her, why should you be frightened? We don't have anything to be afraid of. If we had some possessions, then there would be a need for us to be afraid. We don't have any possessions. So he looked at her and asked her, but do you have any possessions? And then Andal confessed, yes, I just have a golden plate and a golden pot which I brought just to serve you. So Quraysh looked at her and said, yes, that's the reason why you are frightened. Because you have this object which could be stolen from us, for which we could be attacked, that's the reason why you are frightened. And then immediately he took those two objects and threw it into the jungle. And then now he told his wife that there's no need for us to be frightened. So particularly for us Grahasthas, a lot of lessons to be learned from this pastime. The whole reason why we are so much attached to whatever we have, like Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, is because all the possessions, we are so much scared, we are so much afraid that they will be taken away from us at any time. All the security, all the arrangements that we make, putting all the deposits, everything in the bank, and you know, making all those sort of arrangements, ultimately at the end of the day, we have to realize that this is what is actually making us so much afraid, making us stop from surrendering ourselves completely. The attachments become like millstones around our neck, stopping us from completely surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And similarly, we see from the life of Dhanurdas, just how he came into contact with his spiritual master in very unusual circumstances. So there was a palanquin of the lordships going, and at that time, Dhanurdas was there. And instead of looking at the deities, he was actually looking at a woman who was standing close to him. Looking at her very, very, looking at her eyes very closely. So Ramanujacharya wanted to shower his mercy upon him. So he told his servant to go and call this person. And Ramanujacharya asked him, what is it that you find so attractive in this woman? The lordships are passing through, and then you actually, instead of paying all attention to the deities, you are actually paying attention to this woman. What is it that you find so attractive? And then Dhanurdas told him that actually the eyes of hers are so attractive that I just can't take my eyes away from her. Eyes and eyes meet. So then Ramanujacharya asked him that if I show you something which is even more attractive, will you surrender to that person? And then Dhanurdas said yes. So then Ramanujacharya took him to the deities of Lord Ranganath. And Dhanurdas, the moment he saw the deity, he was so fascinated. Completely fell in love and surrendered his life. And later on, when Dhanurdas and his wife moved to the ashram of Ramanujacharya, at that time, the spiritual master was giving them so much of mercy that those in the renounced order, the sannyasis, brahmacharis, they started becoming very agitated. As to why is it that a grahastha is getting so much mercy from our spiritual master? We are so renounced, but yet this grahastha who is so much attached to his wife, he is getting so much of mercy. So one day Ramanujacharya wanted to teach this sannyasis a lesson. So he went, and then in the middle of the night, he tore their dhotis, made their kopins disappear. And the next day morning, the sannyasis and brahmachari, they were fighting among themselves. And then Ramanujacharya called for one of the sannyasis and said that you should go to the house of Dhanurdas in the night and try to remove whatever jewelry she is wearing, whatever the wife is wearing, as well as whatever jewelry is there in the house. And then he told the other sannyasis that you all should quietly make some arrangement in order to observe what this person is doing. So this person, he goes to the house of Dhanurdas, and in the meantime, of course, Ramanujacharya says to one of his servants to bring Dhanurdas to him so that his wife would be alone at home. And then this servant creeps in through the window into the house, and this lady is sleeping. And then slowly he tries to remove the ornaments that are there on the body of the lady. And then this lady is able to sense something, that there is, you know, some disturbance. And then she realizes that it is one of the devotees who is actually removing her ornaments. So she was thinking in her mind that, you know, we should assist him. So she stirred in order to turn herself so that she could. And then the servant got very afraid and then ran away. So then later when Dhanurdas comes home, the servants are still observing from outside, the other sannyasis, they're observing what is happening inside. So when Dhanurdas comes to the house back, at that time, the sannyasis are very keenly listening to what would go on. And then they were imagining that there would be a lot of commotion and fights between them. So there was a fight, but it was a different type. So the husband came home, Dhanurdas comes home, and then the wife, she tells her husband that it looks as if our sannyasis, you know, our spiritual master is having a great problem. There is some need for money. In fact, one of the servants of our spiritual master came to me and then he was removing my jewels. So Dhanurdas was very happy. He said, oh, so nice. So then what happened? Then she said, I wanted to give her the jewels on the other side of my body and then I stirred. But then he got afraid and then he ran away. So Dhanurdas became so angry at her and said, you foolish woman. If you're not stirred, if you just lie down the way you are lying down, he would have quietly removed everything, whatever he wanted. And then when the sannyasis came back to Ramanujacharya, they said, yes, my dear spiritual master, we now realize why it is that he is so dear to you and why we are having so many differences. Also, we see from the life of Srila Prabhupada, complete surrender. At the age of 70, to be going to America in order to distribute this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Failing health, seasickness, heart attacks on the way, nobody to receive him. Why would an old man of 70 years leave Vrindavan? And actually, from one perspective, if you see, Srila Prabhupada, when he got his first major setback to his health when he was in America, and he decided to come back to Vrindavan, and the devotees were thinking that Srila Prabhupada would not come back to America anymore. From one perspective, Srila Prabhupada also could have thought that this is actually Krishna's arrangement. My health is so poor that I should actually spend the rest of my life in Vrindavan. Why should I go back? But the moment Srila Prabhupada became fine, he went back. And he was once again in the forefront of preaching. Even towards the final days of Srila Prabhupada, if you see from the diary of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, TKG's diary, the final pastimes, we can see how Srila Prabhupada was still so much focused on preaching. Although he was completely emaciated, he was hardly eating anything or drinking anything. Practically the last 6 months, he had completely stopped eating or drinking. Still, Srila Prabhupada was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. He was guiding his disciples. He was involving himself in the management, in fact. Only when a person is so completely surrendered to the Lord, can he have such tremendous determination to serve Him even at the last moment of our lives. This last line of the purport: if one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, he must take to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. If one sees Srila Prabhupada's purports, actually the purports are very simple. And particularly, I was just going through the concluding words of each of the purports in the last few shlokas, and practically Srila Prabhupada says the same things. If one wants to make advancement in their Krishna consciousness, he should associate with devotees. If one wants to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, then he should chant the holy names of the Lord sincerely. And sometimes it so happens that we are, all of us trying, in our own individual capacities, trying to serve the movement. We don't take this particular statement of Srila Prabhupada very seriously. Why is it that Srila Prabhupada is keeping on emphasizing to us how important it is to take to the process of chanting the holy name sincerely? Such an important aspect. In fact, the most important aspect of our Krishna consciousness is chanting the holy names. I remember once Krishnanand Prabhu telling one devotee that as we spend more and more years in Krishna consciousness, chanting of 16 rounds becomes routine. There's nothing special about it. It is like a basic entry that you have into the Krishna consciousness movement. This is a basic requirement for entry into the Krishna consciousness movement. And he was giving an example of how it is that when a person has to get entry into an organization, there are certain basic requirements that he has to fulfill. Right? He has to be coming to the office for X number of hours. He has to be doing his responsibilities. He has to take care of so many people and so on and so forth. So these are the basic things that a person is required to do. But when does he make advancement in that organization? Yes, he does the basic things, he gets his salary. But if he wants a promotion, what is he required to do? He is required to put in more number of hours. Particularly we see today, in any corporate organization, in any company, a minimum of 12 hours in India particularly, one is expected to work. We have said that this is the time for you to come to the office, but what time you leave for the office is not known. It's open-ended. And I was just reading an article today where there is an organization in Bombay which has made arrangements in its office for very elaborate sleeping arrangements. A separate section of the office is reserved whereby the sofas just open out and then they become beds. The building, the office has been designed like that. And then this person who was owning that company, he said that our organization requires people to be working late at night normally. You know, so rather than going home and again coming back, you know, so much of time wasted, might as well they work in the office for those number of hours also. It's a reality. So this is the minimum that is expected from you. So similarly, Krishnanand Prabhu was explaining that chanting 16 rounds is the minimum that is expected from us. So how does one really make advancement? If we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, don't we have to increase the number of our rounds? And I was particularly struck by his statement. I said, yes. I mean, if in a mundane situation like a company, we are required to work 12 hours in order to get a promotion. If you work for 9 hours, most likely in any organization, they will not tolerate you more than 6 months. After that, you are unfit to work in the organization. The boss will come and tell you that, my dear sir, I think you should look for another job. If you work for 9 hours a day in a company. If you work for 12 hours, yes, you're loyal. If you work for 14 hours, you're super loyal. If you sleep overnight, you know, you could rise to be the MD of the company someday. But in Krishna consciousness, we come and then we spend so many years in the movement and then we think that, yes, today I have chanted my 16 rounds. It's adequate. Just keep aside our beat bag and done for the day. Thank God. Thank Krishna. We have done for the day. So Krishnananda Prabhu was so heavy, and he was saying that as we put in that many number of years in Krishna consciousness, particularly as we go older in age also, he was saying that we have to start increasing our number of rounds. And I was struck by that statement because I was just connecting that to a situation that I was having in my company where a person had worked for nearly 40 years. He had joined the company at the age of 16. And towards the end of his life, this person had become paralyzed on one side of his body. He was still about 56, 57 years. There were still 3 years to go for retirement, and he was like waiting for his retirement so that he could get his pension. Now, one would have thought that a person who is paralyzed, what would the company do with such a person? They would just tell him, okay, now you go home and stay at home. You know, here is your final, you know, compensation package or whatever. But no, our company took care of him, and every day a car would go and pick him up, although he was not eligible for a car. A car would go and pick him up and bring him to the office and put him, drop him back at home. And he would be practically walking on crutches in order to come to the office. And he was quite good at his work. His mind was not affected. It was just his body that was affected. So I was thinking that here is a person who, because he has spent 40 years in the company is taking such wonderful care of him. It's a mundane company, a mundane organization. Just because he's so loyal, the company is taking so much care of him. Similarly, as we advance in the number of years in our Krishna consciousness, unless and until we show our loyalty to Krishna by increasing the number of our rounds, not just chanting the bare minimum, but increasing the number of our rounds. Because this is what Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, is saying, that we have to be attached to chanting the holy name, not just merely doing our duty. And if you connect it to the analogy of working in a company, you have to be attached to working in that company. You have to show the management that you are really a part of the company. You are with them through thick and thin. Not that when they are highly profitable, you continue with them, and when they're not doing well, you leave them. You have to show them that they are loyal, and this loyalty factor has got such a high premium today in the corporate world. Much more than efficiency. So although this person who was handicapped now, after 40 years of service, was relatively inefficient, but still, because of the fact that he was working in the company for so many years, the company was taking care of him. So, association of devotees, chanting the holy names. I mean, we have to, over a period of time, somehow or the other, getting attached to these things. Because this is what is really going to sustain us till the end. Only when we get a taste for the association for devotees, unless we get the taste for chanting the holy names, how can we aspire to be remembering Krishna at the time of death? And you have to work on everything. It is not that just because we are in the situation, we can take it for granted. It's again, coming back to the analogy, within 6 months, if a person is just putting in 9 hours in a company, in 6 months' time, he's going to be out of the job. So it's not just being part of the organization, but we have to connect ourselves to such an extent that we show Krishna that we are loyal to that organization. And every day that we are in Krishna consciousness is actually a bonus. For a materialistic person, he always plans that he would never die. Right? He never plans for death, because death is for him something inconceivable. He doesn't even want to think about it. Want to accept it as a reality. But for a devotee, subconsciously a devotee is always preparing for death. Right? What is it that we are doing ultimately? What is this process of Krishna consciousness ultimately for? Preparing for death. So that at the time of death we should remember Krishna. That's the whole goal of this whole process that we are following. We all understand the stark reality of death. Right? And even if we don't understand, time and again through the pages of Bhagavatam, we are being told. So Krishnanand Prabhu was emphasizing that we have to take to this simple process what Srila Prabhupada has given us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. We have to take that particular aspect of Krishna consciousness very, very seriously. And not just substitute and think that we are doing so many other services for Krishna. So it's not so important that we focus on this aspect. At the time of death, all our management abilities is going to be of no help. We might be a fantastic manager, might be able to manage so many resources, but when we are lying down on our back, not even able to breathe properly, what is that one single thing that is going to help us? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So the Prabhupada says over here that this is the most important, simple endeavor involved in the devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. So Srila Prabhupada doesn't talk anything about management over here. Shravanam, Kirtanam, management will make us the best possible devotee. So association of devotees, chanting the holy names of the Lord, reading the scriptures, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, coming to Bhagavatam class every day. This is what actually will make our chances better of remembering Krishna. Continuously remembering Krishna. There's no other hope for us otherwise. This is the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us to remember Krishna all the time. The whole morning program that is there from 5 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock, if one attends that regularly and attentively, there's no reason why the whole day you cannot be Krishna conscious. Irrespective of with whom we interact, with what material energy we have to play with, it doesn't matter. We'll be protected. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Are there any comments? Yes. Sri Gaurang Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you talked about, surrender in terms of, for a grihastha especially, you talked a lot about grihastha surrender. What happens, at least from my limited experience, is that between husband and wife or spouse, both of them are normally not on the same track. Either one is, in a lot of cases, one is, way ahead, the other is either way behind, or they're trying to catch up with each other. So in things like using your own resources for the movement or for preaching, sometimes there is discordance between husband and wife, because the person who's more surrendered feels that you should do more, and the person who's not thinks that we should save for the future. So how does one get through this phase till both are on the same level?
I don't have much realization on this. But from what I've heard, the husband and the wife have to help each other in Krishna consciousness. So naturally, as you said, both of them will not be on the same level of Krishna consciousness. But the one who is on the higher level should help the person at the lower level to advance in Krishna consciousness. And sometimes it may be necessary for us to take suitable guidance from the spiritual master or from senior grihasthas, because the situations that each person is confronted with could be different, and there cannot be one standard answer. But particularly in our grihastha seminars, when we talk to the people who are recently or newly married, we appreciate this particular fact that both of them could be at different levels of Krishna consciousness. And we make it we impress upon them how it is important that the person who is on a higher level of Krishna consciousness helps the other person to advance in different ways. If it is a Prabhuji who is on a higher level and the Mataji is not yet so much advanced in Krishna consciousness, and the Prabhuji should help the Mataji by helping take care of the deities at home, or spending time with her at home, or connecting her to senior Grastha ladies, encouraging her to come to the temple. And if it is the other way, where the Mataji is more advanced and the Prabhuji is, so the Mataji should also connect, help the Grastha husband connect to devotees who are able to help him in his Krishna consciousness. But the important thing is that we have to ensure that the husband and wife ultimately are one entity. It's not that they consider themselves to be two different persons. Although they are two different persons, but mentally they have to understand that unless and until we are together, we will not be able to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We need each other. Grastha means husband and wife having Krishna at the center of their lives. So they need each other to help each other in Krishna consciousness. And association of devotees, you know, will make that much of a difference. Getting that person connected to devotees. You can invite devotees home in case the other person doesn't want to go out and meet people, which could be possible. Because somehow they feel devotees are a different breed altogether. So then you can invite devotees home. And through the process of serving them, but this dichotomy will always be there. Radha Krishna Prabhu, would you like to say something? Radha Krishna Prabhu has spent so many years guiding. In fact, I started my Krishna consciousness under Radha Krishna Prabhu. So many Grastha couples who are today connected with Radha Gopinath Temple have sometime or other taken shelter of Radha Krishna Prabhu. So maybe you can speak to Prabhuji in person. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.